All right, so this morning we are talking about evangelism. Let me begin by going through three questions that we're going to work our way through for this teaching. Number one is, what is evangelism? What is evangelism? So if someone was to ask you that question, can you describe to me what evangelism is? What is it? So what is evangelism? Number two, why do we need to do evangelism? So here's the why question. If number one is what is it, number two is why do we need to do it? And the word need is pretty central there because it is a need. It's a great need and a desperate need. And we need to do it, but why? And number three is how. How do we know we have done evangelism successfully? So if number one is what is it, number three is how do we know we've done it successfully? Or during times that you may feel discouraged, maybe evangelism did not, you don't feel like it went that well with your friend or with your family member. How do you know you've done it successfully? And how do we know when we have not done it the way that we should? Okay, so that's the three questions today. What, why, and how about evangelism? So number one, first, what is evangelism? And if you guys look on your notes, bullet point number one there says, there's the Greek word, the word evangelism comes from the Greek word euangelion. Euangelion, it's a Greek word, and the meaning of that Greek word is good news, right? Good news. So whenever we see in the Bible, gospel, that word gospel, literally it means good news, okay? Not bad news, not okay news, not iffy news. No, this is good news and truly good, right? Listen to what Max Stiles, this missionary teacher, said about evangelism and his way of defining evangelism. Evangelism is teaching the gospel, teaching the good news with the aim to persuade. Okay, so someone doesn't know the gospel. Someone has not trusted in Christ and received the gospel. Evangelism is teaching it, teaching the gospel, the good news, with the aim to persuade that person to believe and to receive the gospel. Okay? That's a cool sound. All right, number three, Romans 1, 1 to 3. Rich, can I ask you to read that passage for us, please? Number three.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son.
All right, thanks. Okay, so notice here, verse one, Paul is a servant of Christ Jesus. He's a servant of Christ. He serves him. The word there is slave, meaning his will is now mine. I'm a slave of Christ and I serve him with all my life. Called to be an apostle or a messenger of the news that Christ has given. But let me ask you guys this, how many gospels are there? Set apart for what? Set apart for a gospel? One of many gospel houses set apart for the gospel of God. So there is only one gospel. There is one gospel and one gospel only. So for us, we want to learn that gospel and we want to teach other people that one gospel. Notice the importance of this gospel message. Paul says, I'm a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel. Paul's mission, Paul's purpose, Paul's role, he was set apart by God for the purpose of passing on this gospel message. Okay, he was set apart to preach it, this gospel. We also know the gospel is something that God promised. All the way going back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. All the way going forward to Malachi and beginning with Matthew. The gospel message is what God promised his people. right? It's the promise of God. God promised it. And who is the gospel about? Verse 3, concerning who? Concerning his son. The gospel is about Christ. Okay? So that is, what is evangelism? Before we move on, any questions about that? About what evangelism is? All right, let's go on to number 2. Why do we need to do evangelism? And I have 2 main parts here. Number 1 is the power of the gospel, and number 2 is the need for the gospel to be shared. Okay? First, the power of the gospel to save. Caleb, can you read that verse for us, please? Romans 1, 6. Sure, go ahead.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek.
All right, guys, let me ask you guys. Paul was tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. Have you guys ever been tempted to be ashamed of the gospel, to shrink away from standing firm on the gospel, to maybe be shy or embarrassed about the gospel? Have you guys ever felt that way in life, in different circumstances? Paul was one who knew the feeling of being tempted to feel ashamed of the gospel. But how did Paul overcome that temptation to be ashamed of the gospel, according to this verse? Other Caleb. How did Paul overcome the temptation to be ashamed of the gospel? He understood the power of the gospel, right? He understood, whenever he felt tempted to be ashamed of the gospel, he remembered, this is what I know about the gospel. It is the power of God to save everyone who believes in it. So whenever the gospel goes forth and any single person hears it and believes it, it is the power of God. And that is great power. And it does something. It saves those who believe. So whenever he felt tempted, he remembered what the gospel is and how powerful it was. Look at 1b there. This theologian named Leon Morris said this. Paul makes it plain that he is greatly interested in the power he sees in the gospel. He goes on, the power of God of which Paul writes is not aimless, but is directed to salvation. So the gospel is a very powerful thing, and the gospel is meant to do something. It's meant to save everyone who receives. Listen to what John Stott says in 1C. John Stott, great Bible teacher of the past and teacher of the Bible, he said this. One of my favorite commentary writers, by the way. How then did Paul overcome the temptation to be ashamed of the gospel? He tells us it is by remembering that this very message is, in fact, the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. And he goes on, for everyone who is saved, everyone here in this room is saved. Everyone in the world is saved in exactly the same way by believing this gospel. Hey, Jeff, do you want to pull up that chair? All right, guys, isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging to remember about the gospel message? That the gospel message God gave to us and is meant to do something. It's meant to save, and it's able to save because it's the power of God to do so, right? And that brings us to the second part of why we need evangelism, which is the need for the gospel to be shared. So if number 1 was the power of the gospel to save, number 2 is the need for the gospel to be shared. This is a kind of a longer one. Can I ask, Gracie, can you read Romans 10, 13 to 15, please.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.
All right, thank you. So here it begins in verse 13. Everyone, meaning every single person possible, who calls on the name of the Lord, meaning in faith, trusting in Christ, might be saved? No, it does not say might be, it says will be saved. That's a promise of God. So whoever, through believing in the gospel, receiving the gospel, and places their trust in Christ, that person will be saved eternally, right? But it goes on to say, how will they call if they have not believed? How will they believe? They have never heard. How are they to hear without someone preaching or sharing the gospel to them? How are they to preach unless they are sent? And it finishes up there at the end. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I remember this one time I was building this tent. We were out camping. There's a lot of dirt and stuff. So we were putting up this tent. And I remember I was wearing this leather watch. And it was pure, genuine leather. It was very, very, just pure leather. And after I put up the tent, my watch was all full of dirt and also full of sweat because it was really muddy. So my arm was all like oily and sweaty. And it was that watch was full of dirt and sweat mixed together. And for the rest of that trip, that thing smelled like rotten oranges. Have you guys ever smelled? It was just like, oh, it just smells so bad. Like, and it was just like, you can just smell it all the time. It was indescribable, that smell. Okay. Why do I mention that? Back then, people living in that time of Romans 10 walked around wearing not All-Stars, walked around not wearing Nikes or whatever, canvas shoes or whatever. They walked around wearing sandals, leather sandals, and they walked around on a dirt floor and really hot weather, just sweaty, sweaty feet and full of dirt and full of just really gross smells. So here when it says in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. It's not saying the feet are such a pleasant thing. The chances are the feet smell really bad. That's why John 13, Jesus got down and washed his disciples' feet because they probably had very nasty feet back then, right? Smelled really bad. But here it says beautiful. Not because it was pleasant in smell or sight or cleanliness, but because the feet was the means by which the messenger brought the gospel to someone who did not know it. Right? They didn't have cars. They didn't have scooters. They walked to wherever they needed to go. So if Paul was here and the Romans were here, how did Paul get the gospel to the Romans? He walked with his feet to the Romans, right? So the feet were beautiful because the feet was how the gospel got there. How beautiful are the feet who brings gospel, who brings the good news, right? So, for us, it can just be by whatever means, right? Whatever it takes to get the gospel to someone. It could be your feet, it could be a car, it could just be an email. Whatever it takes to get the gospel to someone who doesn't have it, that's a beautiful thing, right? That's a precious thing. Okay, so why do we need evangelism? First, remember the power of the gospel to save. Number two, remember the need for the gospel to be shared. Now we finish up number three. How do we know we have done evangelism successfully? So we saw what evangelism is. It's the good news and it's sharing the good news. Number two, why do we need it? It's powerful, but it needs to be shared, right? In other words, if it's not shared, no one will be saved, right? It's so powerful to save. But it will not save unless it is shared, right? Number three, how do we know we have done it successfully? Listen to this one quote by this Bible teacher, number one there. If we have shared the good news if we have shared the message of sin, death, Savior, and forgiveness, we have evangelized successfully, for we have done the very thing Christ commanded. So notice, he says, as long as we have shared it, and we have shared it fully, the message of sin, death, Savior, forgiveness, then we've done it successfully. It doesn't say anything about, oh man, I shared it, but the person didn't believe. I failed. No, it's or it has nothing to do with, I shared it and the person believed, therefore it was successful. No, it says evangelism is simply, if you shared it fully, then you've done it successfully. Right? It's all about what you do and sharing it faithfully, and it's not about how the person responds by either receiving or rejecting it. This is God's part. God is the one who changes the heart. Our part is simply sharing it faithfully. That is successful evangelism. Does that make sense, guys? Okay. For example, a mailman. A mailman is one who's called to deliver the mail. I may pick it up and throw it away. I may pick it up, read it, and misunderstand it. I may lose the mail when I receive it. But the mailman's job is just simply delivering it, making sure that it gets from there to here. But his job is not to control how it's read or received, right? It's just delivering. Same thing with evangelism. Our job is simply to share, get it out. And a good way to summarize it is number three there, get the gospel right. Know what the gospel is about Christ. And number two, get the gospel out, right? Know it, understand it, and pass it on and give it out, right? Okay, so again, what evangelism is, good news about a great Savior. Number two, why do we need to do it? It's powerful to save, but it needs to be shared. Number three, how do we know we've done it successfully? We've got it right, and we got it out, the gospel message, right? All right.